Blog Talk Radio.
Another Friday night special, if you will. Welcome to Candid Frank Live, coming to you from the Blog Talk Radio Studios. And I've been informed by Blog Talk Radio Studios that they've discovered a root problem with the listeners being able to listen to the host. Personally, I think they did this just to me. They don't want me to be heard. Mind you, they can stand in line for that one. All right, so here we are, Friday night. What do we usually talk about? Silly things like politics and ongoing stupidity when it comes to life. Generally speaking, we changed the name of the show tonight. What's the name of the show tonight? WTF, Welcome to Friday. And that's usually the theme of the show. WTF, welcome to Friday. Well, some of us would rather welcome Friday a different way, but today we welcome it. We will continue the saga that is the Toronto Argonauts. Yes, normally we don't talk Argos specifically on Friday. In fact, normally we didn't talk Argos on Wednesday. We did that as well. And it was rather heated on Wednesday, and it seems to be spilling over onto Friday. Yes, the spillage is all about the Argos and whether they should be in the CFL, whether they should be in the CFL and not have their own stadium, whether they should be in the CFL, not have their own stadium, and, not have the fans to support the team. Some of us feel that, I brought a couple of friends in. To basically help me to help sort of figure out what's going on. And, this was supposed to be the intro today. Let's start with that. This was the intro today. Coming to you live from Candid Frank Live, we have...
Hello.
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 Tonight, the Three Stooges playing Moe, John Granger. Playing Curly, Aaron William Freeland. And playing wise guy, Curly, will be me. Yes, the Three Stooges are on tonight. That's how I feel about the subject, because it's really getting, it really is irritating to see all the wonderful stadiums around the CFL. And, you know, they're a pretty good stadium here in Toronto. I'm not suggesting that the Sky Dome, otherwise known as the Rogers Centre, is a horrible stadium, because it is not. It is a great stadium in the grand scheme of things. Is it the stadium of the new millennium? No. It is a top-notch stadium of the past millennium. But it does do things that a new millennium stadium that makes it attractive and good, as far as I'm concerned. The fact that the roof is retractable, I think, is awesome. I think that's just stupendous. If it was not, Montreal and BC wouldn't have changed their stadiums, played with their roofs. So, you know, let's be clear here. The Sky Dome was well ahead of its time. And yes, it has a couple of warts or a couple of zits or whatever. A little proactive will help. The biggest problem, though, is if you own a baseball team and you own a stadium that you purchased for $1 and $20 million worth of back taxes, and you're finding it difficult to bring players in because players want to play on grass because it increases their career length, then you're going to do something about it if it's a problem. And unfortunately, it is a problem. It is a problem for the Toronto Blue Jays to bring in players who want, you know, at $20 million a year, dudes, gals, chicks, morons, I mean anybody. Let's face it, you got to change the field to grass. Now, if you change the field to grass, baseball treats grass one way, football treats it a whole other way. Much like the games, you know, baseball is very relaxed and you gallop on the grass. You reach down and try to make sure the ball doesn't get hurt when it hits the grass. So you try to catch it before it hits the grass. You slide in the first or second, sorry, second, third, home. You slide. Football, a little more aggressive. You try to drive the ball into the ground. Of course, the guy's helmet and the rest of his equipment, too. Well, just like you want to know how violent football is? Chad Owens took a spear to the back of the head. No penalty, no fine, no nothing. So, you know, two different types of sports. They do two different things to the grass. And if you own the stadium and the tenant does a number on your grass, raising the cost of you keeping that grass good enough for the players who play here for your team to play on, then, you know, it becomes a pretty much a slam dunk that maybe we don't want this other team in our stadium if we're going to spend that kind of money on grass. So we may characterize Rogers as some evil, you know, evil corporation. I mean, other than that, I mean, are they an evil corporation? I don't know. But they do only think for themselves. Unfortunately, we give people that right to do. Everybody gets to think for themselves and make decisions for themselves. And they've made that decision. They've made the decision that the Argos will not be playing in, the Rogers Center. And the only question is when will they get the, I guess I could only call it an unceremonious boot out of the stadium. But this past week, in fact, I believe yesterday or the day before yesterday, there were engineers at BMO Field, the home of Toronto FC. Now, they've been... Toronto FC is owned by the Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, the same group that owns the Leafs, the Raptors, the Marlies, I don't think they own God, too, maybe. No, I don't think they own him. He's beyond being owned. But, you know, they pretty much own everything. The only thing they don't own in Toronto when it comes to sports franchises are the Toronto Rock and the Toronto Argonauts. Now, some are suggesting that the Argonauts are next on that little wish list that Rogers has in tandem with TSN, because TSN is owned by Globe Media, and Rogers and Globe Media share the ownership of that team and MLSC. So the purchase of the Argos could very well take place. When will it take place? Some suggest that when a stadium is ironed out, the transfer will take place. And MLSC will own the Argonauts. That's what'll happen. You heard it here. Is it true? Don't know, really. It may change. But one thing's for sure. When and if, it will change for the good. And the good by this, I mean, fortunately, you know, as an Argonaut fan, and I'll bring in our guys, as an Argonaut fan, I enjoy the fact that I can go to the stadium, watch a football game, and know that the team is pretty good. Last year, they were good enough to win the Grey Cup. The concern I have with the MLSC taking over is I'm going to have to give up a team that wins for a team that everybody wants to go watch. So now I have a predicament. Do I want the team to be owned by somebody who's going to increase the fandom and may possibly lower the level of, well, of the team's play? Or do I hope that this kid, this young man, Tim Lewicki, I refer to him as a young man because he is younger than me, am I to trust the fact that Mr. Lewicki will do something that is beneficial for the Toronto Argonauts rather than give us fans but a lousy team? Now, the signals are from him. Today, Tom Anselmi handed in his resignation. I'm quite pleased, if I'm a Leaf fan, that he's handed in his resignation. And the reason I say that, and I don't say it in a mean sense. Oh, my goodness. We weren't supposed to do it that way. We were supposed to go this way. We were supposed to be silent.
Hello, sir.
But anyway. Hey, we're on. That was supposed to go silent. So basically, he decided to resign. He decided to resign. And in that resigning, it means now that somebody new will take over the reins of Toronto FC and the other organizations. Now, the Leafs are supposedly under good control of Nonis, and now the Raptors have a new GM, and the TFC team will have a new GM as well. And what I understand, and when you read between the lines and when you hear what Mr. Lewicki says, he's all about winning. Now, that's the one condition and the one hope I have, that this guy's going to bring a new culture, where have we heard this before, to MLSC, not just the Leafs. And hopefully create a winning atmosphere. And as does happen in organizations and in teams, in team sports in cities, it almost seems like winning follows teams in the city. Like the Red Sox do well, the Bruins are doing well. You know what I mean? How often do you see that? It's not unusual. L.A. wins, and then the L.A. Kings win. So, you know, I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, obviously. But a lot of times, you know, winning is contagious. And one will hope that this contagion will afflict MLSC if they buy the Argos, if they move into BMO and all that kind of stuff. So I invited on tonight's special guest, special visitor, one of the Three Stooges tonight, playing Mo, is John Granger. And, of course, Curly, as always, our friend Aaron William Freeland. Gentlemen, good evening to you.
Hello. Who is this?
Oh, listen. What, you want a pizza
You're
or something?
You're a number. What are you calling? Hello?
Okay. I'm doing the Indian football on Wednesday, not tonight. You called the wrong number. Aaron, how's it going, buddy?
Not bad. Not bad at all. How are you doing, Frank?
Did you have a chance to read up on what we're talking about tonight?
I did. I actually thought it was rather kind of surprising. I didn't think Anselmi would actually go. But, you know, if we could predict all things, then news wouldn't be news and stuff wouldn't be fun, would it?
No. But one has to admit, good. You know, we're not talking, and I want to make this clear, you know, we're not talking a person's character here, okay? This is not, on this show, we're not talking about whether Tom Anselmi's a wonderful father, a wonderful uncle, a wonderful dad, a wonderful grandfather, a wonderful person. We're talking about his success rate as the CEO of MLSC, especially his favorite subject, which was Toronto FC. I mean, let's face it, loser.
I'm finally glad that he's being held accountable for the performance of at least one of their organizations.
Exactly, John. You wanted to say?
Yeah, I think we're jumping the gun a little bit here, guys. If you recall, Frank, you want to go rewind 5 months ago. I think it was one of our 6th, 7th, 8th shows that I was doing with you at the beginning, and I mentioned to you about this MLS thing, and it's funny it's coming out at this point, and it's coming out for a reason. It's not going to happen, okay? This is just great attention and marketing that is going on as far as the whole stadium thing. It's step one of getting the public and the politics getting involved by getting a big interest like the MLSC putting their toes in this water. And the big picture here is it's a good thing and it's a bad thing in my mind. Like I said, I'm grateful that if they find somebody that can actually support this team and this league and make add something to it. But unfortunately, I have my suspicions when it comes to MLSC and their interests with the NFL interests, okay? So the Argos, my most – the one thing I want the Argos to do is to get the right stadium. They have to get out of there, and the options are BMO. That's not what Braley, I believe, doesn't want. He doesn't want to just go into a Band-Aid stadium that is really not suited for football. It's like this, Frank and Aaron. Let me put it to this way. To have Winnipeg have such a beautiful stadium, and then Ottawa, and then Hamilton, having these stadiums that are brand new, and then Toronto to be playing in a stadium that should be really something that should be in Winnipeg 10 years ago. Okay, yeah, it'll be closer than what we get as far as atmosphere at the Rogers Center. It'll be a smaller, yes, but is it this, you know, dynamic, big city CFL stadium that we're getting these days? No, it's not. It's a secondhand, more or less soccer field, football field they're going to transition this into. That's the talk, by the way, guys. So as an Argo fan, this is step one to get the politics rolling here. I believe in my heart that Braley, after hanging on to the team this long, wants to build a football stadium, okay? And if the MLSC is one option, if he can't get the real estate here in Toronto, because it's the real estate is really the question here. Can they get the right real estate, the right location? Are the subway lines going to be built maybe in this one they're being offered? Perhaps yes, perhaps no. So those are the options out there. But let's not get too excited is what I'm trying to say.
All right, so after all that, I guess you're suggesting then that MLSC has no interest in purchasing the Argos.
Sorry, Frank, you've been cutting out a little bit when you started the show. What was that again?
MLSC is not interested in purchasing the Argos.
I'm not saying they're not interested. I think the interest, and forgive me, I'm cutting out because I believe I'm getting a call coming in. It's not the fact that they're not interested. The interest is always going to be there with any sports franchise and such a big mega corporation like the MLSC, who is now, you know, trying to get everything sports in Toronto here, okay? They'd be chasing the Blue Jays, too, if they could, and that's the reason why I believe they got involved with Rogers to be some sort of a partner, you know, more or less, in the media business. But, Frank, yes, there is interest. If the number is
okay,
right,
so
if
there
the
is
price
interest.
Is right.
Yeah, okay, so there's interest. That's great. There's interest in purchasing the Argos. So the Argos, two problems they have is they have ownership that, quite frankly, isn't sure they want to own the team, that are considering selling the team. Braley's never said that he wants to own the team forever. You know, he has said he's just a guy hanging on to it until they can find somebody who is willing to own it that's a worthwhile owner.
Well, let me throw something in here. That's what everybody in the media, and that's the reason why we get fed this information, that's Braley's mentality. Unfortunately, Frank, in every one-on-one conversation that people have had with Braley regarding the sale of the team, he's come out and said, it's not for sale. It's just not. I'm not even talking about possibly selling it. So why is anybody saying that I'm going to be selling the team? He, I believe, this guy's he's not, you know, an idiot. Let's be, you know, I don't want to call him a genius, but when one man can make this league survive and be so respected and have such an in-depth you know, involvement with a Canadian product like the CFL, I believe he's going to do the right thing. He's gonna follow this through right to the very end of it, and I think that would be his best interest. I mean, the guy itself.
Now follow
is
through
a big
means
name.
Follow through means what? He's gonna
build it
what?
Himself. Build it himself.
All right,
okay.
Aaron. What
he's
do you what do you
estate,
think,
Frank?
What do you think, Aaron, as an outsider?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I really wouldn't be happy if MLSE actually bought the Argonauts just because there's a creeping cancer that's associated with Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment.
Yep.
Creeping cancer is typically failure. I will acknowledge that the Argonauts do need a new stadium. There is no argument there. They definitely need a new stadium because, you know what, playing in the Sky Dome, it's playing in a cavern.
So
the fans have enough of an impact, you're too far from the field.
Well, I don't think that's fair. First of all, Aaron, that you're not too far from the field at the Rogers Center. It isn't too bad, as far as being close to the stadium. The problem with football is you need rising stands that rise a lot faster than the Argo ones. Than the Sky Dome ones do, because you end up further away by virtue of the angle of the seats.
Well, exactly. It's a baseball stadium. It's not a football stadium. It's not designed.
Absolutely.
For that. Now here's a question for you. Now, I never saw games at Lamport, but what I'm really wondering is, other than the fact that it's only a 9,600-seat stadium, what was wrong with Lamport?
Well, access. Let's start with the plumbing. No, that's like, you know, we're talking high school stadiums in this day and time. Even converting that area down there is not feasible. Because of the space, the parking, the condos that are going up, it's turning into residential neighborhood. The chances of that ever happening is impossible, absolutely impossible. There's too much renovated commitment in that district down there where Lamport was. It used to be a warehouse district, and now they've turned into all warehouse condos converted over. And no, that, Aaron, unfortunately, Frank and I have talked about that before, but... No, and it's also a city property, a landmark, you know, a historical landmark, which you can't do a lot of conversions to. So they can't expand that. But, again, it's about real estate, guys, and it's who is willing to give and share. And that's what I mean. When I say Braley all alone, no. He needs to have somebody who's got the land, and then he's going to come in and do the rest. But, you know, land is half the issue, okay?
Is it?
It costs – yeah, well, sure, Frank. In Toronto – and prime real estate, subway line, GO line, or whatever, something like that, that alone is probably the half the cost of the stadium. Intro.
I hear you.
You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely. Yep. Okay, let's take a break. We'll be back for more. We'll be talking, of course, about the Argos. And the real question is, are they homeward bound, I guess?
1, 2, 3. We're the Argos cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show. 1, 2, 3. We're the Argos cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show. Yay! Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank! There you go, Frank.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ever. He's from Hawaii, playing in the Great White North.
He's not just good, he's real good.
He's into MMA.
From the gridiron to the octagon.
He's got game. This is his game.
He's the total package.
He's got the hard one.
He's got a great cup. He's a family man.
Team player. Dedication to the max.
True blue through and through.
I love watching this guy.
He's a highlight waiting to happen.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Don't forget... Mike Richards, TSN 1050, every morning. Hey, Art and Paul, where do the Argos want to be?
Homeward bound.
Sorry, I didn't get that. Art, Paul?
I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts are keeping home, where my music's playing.
Home. Where you collect the money for parking. Home. Where you collect the money for tickets. Home. Where you collect the money for concessions. All that's good for you if you have...
Travis.
Travis Lule.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I love this guy.
He's real.
You know you like him.
Loves the outdoors.
He's out there, all out, every game.
You've got it like that.
Look at him.
Always looking to land the big catch.
He's after it.
Articulate.
He's a winner.
Champion.
He's got a great cup.
He's the real deal.
Yeah, you gotta love this guy.
CFL on TSN. You need to see these guys play.
Don't forget, Mike Richards in the morning. TSN 1050. From Blog Talk Radio, we are aware of the issue of voice dropouts on the studio. Although we originally thought this was fixed, we've discovered a root problem and the engineers are working on the solution now. Stay tuned to the top of your studio for updates. This will not affect the archive or live stream. It only affects the live telephone connection. Thanks for your patience while we work on a solution. The Blog Talk Radio team. All right, so, you know, the Argos are looking for a new home. We all know they are because they haven't signed with the Blue Jays, and it's been years of wait. Let's see if they sign. How important is it that a team has their own stadium? It's always important. Financially, they need to own the stadium so that whatever income can be derived from the ownership of the team goes straight into their money live stream, if you will. Unfortunately, with Toronto, the parking goes to Rogers, the concessions go to Rogers, even some of the seat costs go to Rogers, and there's nothing the Argos can do to promote. For example, when they brought in UFT and the other universities, including Brock, to come cheer for the Argos, the beer that the university students bought went to Rogers, not the Argos. So even when you give away the seats for free, you still can't make the money that's on the beer. So let's be clear here. It's hard to be a profit-making venture when two of the streams are not part of your coffers. So, yeah, that's the biggest reason why we all can agree, right, that the Argos need a stadium and need a stadium that they collect the revenue from that they generate. Correct? Starting with Aaron?
Oh, I would definitely agree to that. Yeah, everybody, every sports team needs a place that can call its own, independent from outside interference and outside concerns.
John?
Without doubt. I mean, if all places, if all cities, Toronto is one of those that needs to have that access to their dates. More important than anything, because of all of the challenges with all the entertainment value and interest here in downtown core of Toronto and all the other sporting events that go on, all the events that go on, they need to pick their date that, you know, best suits them. And that's where they got to start from. It starts off with the actual dates. I know it sounds so minuscule when you think about it, that why is it so important to have a date? Why can't the people just show up? They have 5 million people in the vicinity. I'm not trying to refer to Mike, Minnesota Mike, but unfortunately I don't blame Mike for the way he felt. It's just that that's what happens. That's the impression you get being on the outside. And people will not understand the importance of what Toronto really needs is that stadium. And it starts from there, Frank. And once they get the stadium...
We can make it simple, John. Once they get the stadium, things will get better, hopefully. First of all, the honeymoon with the new stadium, that'll bring people in just because, you know, just like with Winnipeg, it'll bring people in right then. And then if you can at least develop a base and hang on to it, it's all fine. Yeah, you know, there's so much truth to dates being very important. Gentlemen, if I said to you, Hockey Night in Canada, what day is it?
Saturday.
Right? Isn't that what it's about?
Right.
You know, TSN.
NFL Sunday. Well,
right.
NFL Sunday,
Friday
NFL
night
Monday,
football.
NFL Thursday.
Monday night football. Yeah. No, well, the NFL is a different story. They just have a day and they just call it that. Like, but really, before the NFL was as popular as it is now, they played on Sundays, and then there was the one game the rest of the week known as Howard Cosell's Monday Night Football. And
right.
And that, you know, and but that's what, you know, that's what sports is all about. I mean, even Aaron and I, who love television shows, Aaron, how many times have we seen networks bounce a TV show from day to day to day, and it ruins the TV show's, you know, impact and ratings, right?
More times than I care to count.
Exactly.
But you know what,
right?
Frank? It's not fair. It's not fair for us to compare as far as the CFL not having a specific date, and if we're going into dates on television. Television and the CFL is still a new thing. It wasn't until they broke away with the CBC and actually having a legitimate sports cast, I mean, a sports network. pick it up and on a steady, regular basis and trying to promote it in the right way was when really the television side of the CFL became, you know, born. And it's still in its baby stages. I mean,
John, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant.
Oh, I know. That's not what you meant. I know.
No, no. What
yeah,
I'm talking about,
let's,
I want to stay to the – if you're going to continue on my point, please stay on it accurately. At the end of the day, fans – can relate to a team and a day that is their major home day. That's the way it is. In hockey, it's like that. You know, Boston has – or is it Chicago has Sundays. The Leafs have Saturday and Thursday now. You know, they try to stay away from Wednesday. You know, in the old days, remember, there was Wednesday night hockey. Forget about the TV because you can't talk about the TV because they show all the teams. You know, they're not just showing
the
Argos.
No, Frank, I am staying on your point. Frank, I am specifically staying on your point. You're missing my point. My point is that you're throwing out there the CFL have their night. And how can they have their night when all these schedules are all over the place, right? That's the point that you're – that's the point as a listener listening to you right now is the impression I'm getting is that, you know, Hockey Night in Canada –
well, they do. They have Friday. Friday's – TSN is – Friday's their flagship day for the CFL. Yes or no?
Yes. But hold on a second. But the NFL, everybody's a Sunday. On Friday, the CFL, not everybody's is Friday. So there's that problem there. You know what I mean? Well, I'm staying on your point.
Sorry, John.
Okay,
John, what other major sport has their game nights only on Fridays? Because what we're trying to talk about here is the fact that Saturdays belong to the NHL, Sundays and Mondays belong to the NFL.
Well, maybe a little bit in Canada.
Major league sport has their game days on Fridays?
Lacrosse.
Other than the Toronto Rock, and you know what? The can play then anyways, so it doesn't make a difference.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So what other major?
Well, no one's arguing
Friday.
That Friday night is not a good night. But anyway,
John, honestly, seriously though, John, how is Friday not a good night?
Who said it's not a good night?
I just heard somebody say Friday's wasn't a good night.
No, I was agreeing with you. I said Friday is a good night.
Okay.
I misheard. Yeah. Well, MLSC thing.
Well, put it
Frank,
this way, John. Put it this way, John. What I meant to suggest, okay, is that the problem with the CFL, okay, it's a game that's played weekly, right?
Yep.
Generally speaking, right? Yet they play from Tuesday, to Sunday. That leaves Monday as the only day they don't play. And they only have eight teams. That's my point. They're all over the map when it comes to the schedule. And people cannot, Argo fans cannot, and the worst part of it is, and you and I both know it, John, because we're living it right now, the worst night to have an Argo home game is on a Tuesday, and that seems to be the predominant night this year.
This year, yeah. Well,
right? I'm just trying to speak in specifics. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, well, there's a couple. I mean, we're not going to see those Tuesdays anymore, but we had them, okay? We lived them, and they're awful. And it's not going to work in any other city either. I mean, that's the reason why nobody in Calgary has asked for a Tuesday. You know, they're getting theirs on a Sunday. And, you know, Minnesota Mike said, well, you know, they got crowds there. The stands are full. And but those are weekend dates. Give us a Saturday afternoon. I'm not going to go over that stuff again.
John, you're 100% right. Don't backtrack. And I'm going to help. I'm going to add to what you're saying. Give them a Saturday night every day of the year if they get 50% of the game nights are a Saturday or a Sunday or any other day other than Tuesday, Thursday, I'd even say Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's wide enough a window. But they pick a couple of days where the Argos, if the Argos own the stadium, they'll pick a couple of days that they like, and they'll say, this is when we're playing our home games. And the fans will become accustomed to a day that is convenient for them to travel downtown to go watch a football game. Because that's the truth. It's all about convenience. Why should I go to a football game on a Tuesday night when I'm tired from being at the cottage? And this is my rest night. This is my night to get back my strength so I'm ready for Friday night again when I go back to the cottage or when I go half-party weekend, you know? It's just a bad night, and we need nights that are more friendly to the fans. And I'm not talking about any specific night either. I'm talking about continuity. And you're right about places like Calgary. For God's sakes, they know when they're going to go to the game. They're not going on Tuesday.
Nailed it.
Right? Continuity, man. But our games are all over the map because we have to go when the Jays aren't playing. Or when, as you put it, John, the extra time it takes to turn the stadium over to football.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and we're talking about MLSC and turning the stadium over. I heard the president of MLSC talking and saying that, you know, the only way it's going to work is if they can figure out a way where they can, within 24 hours, convert it and slide it in and slide it out. And that's the end zone. That's the north end zone, I believe. So, you know, it's Frank, the MLSC thing so far is the only thing that's really come to any, that's gotten any attention.
Is there anything else you want to mention? Are there any other prospective owners? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Like 5 months ago? No, you know what? This time around, I'm going to bite my tongue, and I'm going to write it down, and I'll give it to you. And then if it happens...
you already mentioned it 5 months ago, so I can mention it now. You know,
I'm only going to
repeat what was said 5 months ago. I'll put it this way. I'll tell you what, I'll be fair to you and not go against your wishes. But what I will say is this: there's another important nationally proud corporation or company, you know, not to give away anything, that has a very large footprint in the world that everybody knows that is very interested in purchasing the Argonauts. Am I telling you who it is? No. Am I telling you it'd be a pretty good owner? Probably. And the thing about this owner is they want a stadium as well. They don't just want to come in and buy the team. Do I have that right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know what? And in general, I think anybody who's thinking about being involved in the CFL and the Argonauts is going to have to come in dealing that card, having that stadium part of the deal. It's the only way anybody, including MLSC, which they already are halfway there, they have the stadium. You know what I mean? For them, it's pretty easy. And if we're going to talk about the pros and cons, you know, the pros are MLSC with the marketing and with all the outreach. And like you said, Frank, is it close enough to say that they're going to want to get involved with the stadium too? Everybody who's going to have any sort of interest is going to want to have a deep involvement with controlling the stadium. So, and these are big players.
Sure.
But again, I believe you have to start off what Braley is doing, is starting off talking with the municipalities in the area and getting the real estate. It is all talk if you don't got the land. That's basically what I'm going to say. And none of these people right now really have the land except for MLSC. And it's up to the municipalities who want to get involved and who want to politically. Like I said, this is step one of the political side of this. So,
I agree.
Hey,
yeah,
you know, for both of you guys. Sorry, I want to jump in here just for a second.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Now, I know that we're going to need about a 30,000-seat stadium for the Argonauts, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, now I'm going to throw out a couple different sites here and work with me on this one. I know that there's a possibility if MLSC buys a team that they're going to be at BMO. But
right.
Is there a possibility for building something at Downsview or maybe at Woodbine, like Rob Ford suggested? Or are those completely off the map because of other purposes and what have you?
Well, I've heard of Downsview. I've heard of Downsview.
Downsview's always been in the mix. Downsview was in the mix before BMO was built and before York was the thought.
Yeah.
So,
it's
always in the game.
Okay, what about Woodbine?
You point out some good ones, but the one thing that Braley and everybody else is being tight-lipped about is they don't want to screw things up for themselves, right, is they don't want to relinquish exactly what areas and what municipalities, you know, there's only so many you can pick from around the city, right, and you can narrow it down to the...
Hey, guys, you guys know what they're doing. From what I understand is Ontario Place is getting the old boot. Like, Ontario Place is what would be wrong with a stadium there at Ontario Place?
only for the fact that they've already made plans for it.
Yeah, well, what have they made? That's what I'm asking. What have they made plans for? I don't know. I'm asking. This is really, I'm not. It's not a trick question.
Well, about a year ago, I saw the development guy who's in charge, and I can't remember his name, but he's an Asian fellow who's in charge of the waterfront development down there, and he was saying that, you know, plans are in the works. It's going to be changed into this. It's going to be changed into that. And who's funding it and how it's going to, you know, affect the neighborhood. I don't know the specifics, Frank, because I didn't hear anything about even the possibility of anything but a family recreational area. You know what I mean?
Not a stadium. And not a stadium.
Not a stadium, no. And
okay,
with the
fair enough.
Thing
Let's close
being,
that door. Let's close that door.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a lot of – isn't there a lot of room on the waterfront? Can't they, like, fill the waterfront and make land?
Well, don't they want to put the gardener on the waterfront and underneath the water too? So I don't know. That's a big project. I mean, that's way out of the ballpark, I think. Well, when it comes to that, that's my opinion anyway.
Yeah, no, you know what? Really, the thing that ruined everything for us Argo fans was when Toronto didn't get the Olympics.
Yeah.
That's what ruined it for us.
Do you expect Toronto to get the Olympics?
Well, there was, you know, food, not circuses, remember?
Yeah, no, I remember that, but I just don't think we could afford the bribes.
Oh, come on. We got as much money as anybody.
Oh, come on.
We
yeah.
can play
Sochi
that game.
Gets,
we can
no
play
snow.
That game. We can
Sochi
play that
Sochi gets the games
game.
And they have no snow, Frank. How does that work?
Oh, you mean the Winter Olympics?
Yeah. How in the name of everything holy does Sochi get the games?
Politics?
The only way I can say is...
No way that Sochi gets the games.
Well, let me give you that, my explanation on that. North America's gotten the Olympics way too many times in the last two decades. And there's big parts of the world that have developed into, up to date technology cities around the world that and countries that have now the ability to host them. So the fact that North America, Canada, U.S., Canada, U.S., winter, summer, winter, it's got to go somewhere else. It just has to.
Well, Brazil's got the World Cup and the Olympics coming up.
Right.
So, you know, it's moving around. You're right, though, John. It's like the Super Bowl, right? It can't be in New Orleans every year, only every other year.
That's right.
So, you know, it's... Okay, who the heck's outside? Which one of you two's
I
outside?
I apologize. My window's open, and somebody's car decided it was going to throw a conniption.
Okay, all right. Somebody, find the key. The Argos, we're relying, I think, on something like that. It never happened, and it's not going to happen, and that's too bad.
Frank, I'm not sure if you can hear me now, but unfortunately the Blog Talk Radio is doing that thing again where you're cutting out, so sorry.
Yeah, I know. They warned me on the top of the on this thing to tell me I'm cutting out, that all the hosts are cutting out. They're working on the problem.
I see.
And
okay.
It's frustrating, I must admit. All right, well, I'll try to talk slower and hope that I'm heard more words are heard because I'm not saying as many as quickly as I like to speak. The important thing, I guess, guys, is a good team in a good location on a good day will create a successful franchise. Did I cut out again?
Yeah, yes. And it's got nothing to do with how fast you talk. It's just the technology is screwing with you tonight, Frank. And actually, it was on Wednesday also. But unfortunately, I understand. It's a technical issue, and they're working on it, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, there is a solution. I get my – Carolyn, can you do me a favor? Can you dial 1714? 1714-242. 5250. That would be the phone number for calling in for all you folks that want to call into Candid Frank Live. And apparently there's a lot of time for you to call in and talk because I can't be heard anyway. So, you know.
Good one.
All right, listen. We've got about 14 minutes left in this part of the program, and then we're going to move on to Mike Hogan, the play-by-play guy on TSN 1050. He's joining us at 11, and we'll
All
have
right.
a nice conversation with him, possibly about the fact that, you know, see what he's saying about the Argo status as far as ownership and playing field, where it will be type thing. If we find out from him, it'll be great. We'll hear what he has to say. But I'm sure if he even knew, he wouldn't tell us anyway. But we'll ask anyway. That's the important thing.
Actually, you know what? Mike's a really open kind of guy. As far I listen to his shows on Mondays and All Access Argos, and it's pretty forward kind of type of guy. And he's I don't know if he knows something, he'll say it. I believe. We'll see. As you cut out.
No, I didn't cut out. I turned off my mic.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing that, Frank. Yeah, and again, if we're going to just recap of what I'm trying to say here, MLSC, great. It's great talk. It's been talk now for 2 years. I've been hearing MLSC prior to that. That's why I kind of threw it out there 5 months ago. And again, this is just step one of the political agenda, and not agenda, but the plan that needs to be done, the footsteps involved. This is one step at a time, and I'm just happy that there is talk, bottom line. I am just gratefully happy that there is finally talk, Frank.
Yeah, maybe I'll turn off my mic, and now watch what will happen. I won't break up now, because just like everybody else, I'm just calling in. Okay. Aaron, I hear your typewriter going like crazy. Your keyboard.
Sorry, I was just looking up the different Olympic sites, and I'm looking in the modern era, so I'm looking from about 1980 forward. I know in 1984 it was in Sarajevo, 1988 it was Calgary, 1992, 1994, 1998 it was Albertville, Lillehammer, and Nagano, 2006 it was Torino, and then 2014 we're going back to Sochi. So.
They basically go from continent to continent to continent under their best, you know, on their best terms.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, the way that we're looking at it now, that's pretty much what we're looking at. But I mean, it seems pretty evenly distributed. I mean, you go back to 1980; it was in Lake Placid. 1976, the Winter Olympics were in Innsbruck.
So the reason we got into the Olympics is that if they had come to Toronto, we would have had
Hokkaido.
But the reason, Aaron, we got into the Olympics is because we were discussing the opportunity for that was missed by the Argos and basically sports franchises in the city and sporting endeavors that are of Olympic, type, like velodromes and that kind of stuff. If you're talking summer. When it doesn't matter whether you talk summer or winter, you get the stadium because you need the stadium to have the opening and closing ceremonies. And so, you know, would have the Rogers Center suited as a sole, you know, sporting stadium, or would they have needed something different with grass or whatever, depending on what, what sport they, which one, winter or summer, they were going after? I think they were going after summer at that time, was it not? Because we don't have the Winter Olympics kind of stuff here close by.
No, I think for the most part, though, you're going to see the majority of the games, in particular the Winter Games, are going to be held in North America. In 1988, the Summer Olympics were in Seoul, South Korea. In 1992, they were in Barcelona. In 1996, that was in Atlanta, which was a rarity, let's be honest. It's not often that you see the Summer Olympics held in a North American country. 2000 it was in Sydney. 2004 we were looking at Athens because of the centennial, that sort of thing. It seems to be fairly well distributed across all of the major continents.
Yeah, of course it is. Cool. And that's their intention.
Yeah.
You know, that's always been their intention. Okay. Let's go back. We're down to about 9 minutes left in this segment. Let's talk about what do you want to talk about other than the Argos and a new stadium? Do you want to talk about the team, John, the status they're in? Montreal right now has the confidence and they believe in their quarterback Marsh and the comeback game. Montreal's a favorite.
I'm sorry.
Missed all that, Frank. Sorry.
What, was I breaking up again?
Yep.
And that's the phone. Now it's the phone.
Yeah,
we're all breaking up.
I was missing out on half of Aaron's comments, so sorry, guys.
I'm not overly worried.
Oh, there's my mic now. I'm back on the regular headset. See if that works at all. Montreal has more confidence now. I said we move on to the games and what's going on the field. After that loss to the Alouettes are a very confident team. Last-minute victory against BC. They handled Toronto rather easily. Toronto's going into Montreal with a lot to prove, no?
Most definitely. Sunday is actually going to be, I believe, it's going to be a make-or-break point for the Argonauts on the season. If they can't lay a beating on one of their own divisional rivals, then they're going to find themselves in a little bit of trouble when it comes a little further down the road. I may be a little pessimistic about this sort of thing, but I am a dyed-in-the-wool Leafs fan, so I guess I come by it naturally.
But John will tell you
well,
this is number three.
I'll give it to you nice and simple right now. I don't even want to say it out loud or think it, but you know, without Owens this Monday or Sunday, without our quarterback, without our running back, 0-4 next four games. Sorry.
No, no worries. I'm a little more optimistic than that. I mean, you know, but
you know what?
I
gotta think realistic. Been here too many times not to be able to read this. I'm just hoping for a miracle, like what happened against BC when Caleros did it then. And with Caleros now banged up a little bit too, like I have to come from their gut as far as knowing what to do and getting this one out. But I feel bad for the situation that, you know, with the injuries that they're in. But Montreal on a back-to-back after being banged up in Montreal, then Saskatchewan, tough, real tough, 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 tough. But you know what? You know, this is football. Anything can happen. So we'll see how it plays out. And, Frank, if you can ask Mike a question for me, what in his mind does he feel we should – get for Toronto as far as stadiums go? Is it something that is already built in Winnipeg? I mean, you know, we're not going to get that. But this man has got a chance to see every single stadium many times over. And if anybody else, they should go and ask him because he's been through all of them and get an idea. And it's different for a commentator when they feel and hear the atmosphere in the stadiums, and what works best. I like to ask those guys more. You know, they're always sitting up high and seeing everybody's down low and feeling the crowd. And so that'd be kind of interesting to find out what Mike's favorite stadium is besides, you know, the atmospheres.
Well, one thing I think he'll tell you is that they didn't talk to the media guys when it came to building the Winnipeg Stadium.
I know. They can't see. See
can't
my point?
See.
There you go. That was a great lead-in. That's my point, Frank. They should have gone to them and Mike and asked them.
Aaron, you've been in a couple of press boxes, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Imagine now you're in a press box for a football game and you can't see the whole stadium. The whole playing field. Let me be clear. You can't see the whole playing field.
Part of it.
Well, that'd be like being in Seattle watching the hockey team play.
There you go. And that's
I can't imagine that. Like that would be completely foreign and alien to me.
Well, that's the case in Winnipeg. They And then they put a flagpole, a light pole right in front of the broadcast center.
Nice! So they have obstructed view seating.
They definitely do.
Yes. Brilliant.
Well, you know, there was one wrinkle, okay? But the rest of it, I think they did a pretty good job. But unfortunately, it got a lot of attention. And how could it not? You know, these guys
considering
are the ones
commentating
the
game. The guys with the loudest mouths were given the most to say.
That's right. Yeah, let's make sure they can't see the field. Yeah, okay. No, nobody will notice.
Yeah, let's keep it quiet. Don't worry, the media won't say anything.
And they don't watch the game, do they?
Free sandwiches, free beer, they won't say nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's
funny. You know, that's the funny part is that they
have obstructed
seating. But anyway,
Throw that at him if you can, Frank. And Aaron, thanks, guys, for having me on tonight. Great to get a little venting off as far as the MLSC stuff goes. We'll see what happens. And
yeah, you're going to tell us.
Thank you for having me, and you guys have a good night.
You're going to remind us who that owner is going to be before you go? You're going to change your mind? I guess he did. All right, let's take Aaron. As part of the... what we talked about that we would be talking about, I said, well, we have Mike Hogan. A little later, we're going to talk about the new alignment in the National Hockey League, the new NHL season. Then we're going to talk to Aaron about the possibility. Will there be new ownership now that, you know, will they be playing in the ACC as a new arena in the future of the Toronto Rock? Or do you think they're happy where they are? When we come back after the Mike Hogan and after our break, and we'll give Mike a call and we'll see where he's at. And for those of you that have stayed with us and lived with our technical difficulties, you know, just consider what I'm saying as sort of a code word, I guess, is the only thing I can say. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back for more after this. Hey, Argo lifers, Argo fans, the Toronto Argonauts fan cruise is on the horizon. 7-night Eastern Caribbean cruise, February 1st through 8th. Argo fans, do you want to live it up? The ultimate cruise party on the high seas may be just what you need. Join reigning CFL Coach of the Year Scott Milanovic, the Grey Cup winning quarterback Ricky Ray, and members of the 2013 Argos cheerleaders on a 7-night voyage to some of the most exotic destinations in the Caribbean. Join the fun as we kick off the Argos Fan Cruise Week in Miami, Florida, with an action-packed tailgate party, including your newest friends. The party continues on board the Celebrity Reflection with exclusive events throughout the week that will have everyone talking. There is no better way than to spend the week by soaking up the sun, enjoying fine cuisine, hitting up the gym or spa, or simply partying the night away. Get ready to put your game face on and join the fun. For more information on pricing or to book, please call 416-929-1980. 416-929-1980 or toll free 1-877-510-2751. That's 1-877-510-2751. Book early because this is one huddle you can be a part of with the Toronto Argonauts. After four failed attempts, 64-year-old Canadian endurance swimmer Diane Nyad is the first to swim across the 160-kilometer Florida Strait from Cuba to Florida in just 53 hours without a shark tank. Right after reaching the shore of Key West, this is what our hero Diane Nyad had to say, swollen lips and all.
I got three messages. One is we should never, ever give up. It looks like a solitary sport, but it's a team.
The key to any sporting endeavor is teamwork. And teamwork is what makes it all happen. Teamwork is what makes it work. And a lot of times, franchises, teams don't have success. And although sometimes people suggest that it might have more to do with how the GM picks players or how the coach coaches players or the players, it is my opinion, my humble opinion, I might add, that I believe that it's what's more impactful when it comes to what makes a team a really good team, it really is their broadcasters. Without decent broadcasters, it's impossible. It's impossible to have a good team. Now, in many ways, you know, Foster Hewitt was the guy that made Hockey Night in Canada what it is. Shortly, if he answers the telephone, we're going to have a chance to talk to the man that makes listening to the Toronto Argos games, listening to the Toronto Argos games. That is, of course, if he recognizes this number and knows enough to pick it up. Of course, I'm referring to Mike Hogan. And we'll see if he picks up. Mike? Wow, that's a lot of rings before you get voicemail, huh? Aaron,
Hello?
Hello, how you doing? It's Frank, Mike. He hung up on me.
Nice.
Oh, that's just downright rotten, man. I bet you forgot it was going to call him. Give it another shot. So like I said, franchise success relies on their broadcasters and how they to me it's one of the most important things.
No, if you don't have a decent voice like Herbie Kuhn, for instance, for the Toronto Raptors or Rick Jenneret like for the Buffalo Sabres, you're not going to draw fans in. It's just a sad reality.
Yeah, you know what? I've had this problem before where you try calling a number and they can't hear me, so they don't know.
Yeah, we got a kind of a problem with call. Because your phone was ringing, but mine wasn't.
He's getting on a train to go to the football game. He's going to Montreal. Day early. So he might be at Onion Station right now.
Yeah, but in general, cell phone.
It's ringing. Maybe I should text him. Well, you know what it might be too? He might think he doesn't realize that my number is coming from LA and he's seeing the long distance number.
Oh, that could be it.
That might be it. He thinks it's some strange guy calling from LA. He doesn't realize it's me. Because I'm sitting here in Mississauga. Or as my friends used to call it, Mrs. Sausage. Well, let's pretend he's on the air. And I got an idea. I know what to do. Here, hang on a second. I know what to do. Let's see. I'm going to call him with the cell phone. Hey, listen. While I do this, do me a favor.
Sure.
Give me a minute or two about how you feel the Toronto Rock are happy with where they're playing and their ownership. How do you, from a fan's perspective, how do you see it?
Strictly speaking, just as a fan, I have to believe that I'm actually very, very happy with where the Rock are sitting right now. With a championship win in 2011 and getting as close as they did in 2011 and 2012, the Toronto Rock are actually sitting very pretty. They aren't winning at the same pace that they were winning at back in the early 2000s. I think that was a bit of an aberration, to be honest. They had a truly dominant team in the first
decade.
Hey,
Mike, Frank, that's me trying to call you with that other number. Okay, I'm calling you on my cell, so we won't be the fans won't be able to hear you. I just wanted you to know that was me calling, so don't worry about it. Well, we'll do it another time when you're not at the All right, we'll do it another time when more or less you're at home or a little more less busy, if you will. I know you're getting on the train to go to Montreal. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you later. All right, bye. Yeah, that's why he's not. That's why he's not answering. It's an LA number, and I can't call him on my cell number, mainly because it's not connected to the show. Anyway.
Ah.
So, but you know, I don't remember if we have, we don't have, what do you call it, when you can have more than two callers on the phone. We don't have that, right?
Full lines then.
Yeah. So we can't do that either. So it's a bad deal. It's a bad deal. So I just wanted him to know that we'll do it next time when he's more comfortable. He's trying to get on the train and... As awful as it sounds tonight, he wouldn't understand what I was saying anyway, so it's better to do another night. Once Blog Talk Radio sorts out its audio issues. Okay, so let's move on to the next subjects. After we were talking to Mike Hogan, we were going to move on at 11:15, which is 9 minutes early, it's 11:06, and talk about the new alignment in the National Hockey League. What do you think of the new alignment?
I'll be honest with you. I like the fact that Detroit's in the same division because I've always liked it when the Maple Leafs play them, so we get to see them a little bit more. It never really made sense to me to have Detroit in the West. Mainly because, you know, East.
They're not. Mayo, they're not in the West.
Not anymore. But
no, they never were. They never were in the West.
Are you sure?
I'm not really. Yeah. I mean, okay. Physically, they were never in the West.
No. Physically, they were. Division-wise, they were. That's
yeah, but not physically.
No. But, you know, I mean, looking at the Eastern Division now with the way that that's realigned, it looks to be more the way it should be. Looking at the Western Division, I'm still a little iffy on Chicago and St. Louis being there, but, you know, it. It's going to make things more interesting, and it's going to make trading a little more difficult. So that to me is a good thing. I'm glad they took the time to realign. I'm glad they took the time to look at the boundaries and everything like that and realize that this is the way it should be. I'm still upset that I'm never going to see a Toronto-Montreal final, but I'm pretty sure I can live with that.
Yeah, we missed our chance, and I'm trying to find the right one because I'm looking at realignment 2013, and I'm sorry, I don't agree. That's not the 2013 alignment.
No, what they've actually posted on NHL.com is the final standings from last year. And
but what about the
position.
Alignment? What about the alignment? Ah, here, I got it.
Did you find it?
Yeah, I finally got a decent. Oh God, it's terrible looking. Oh, there it is. It's focusing in. Okay, my beef with the alignment is if you're looking at the same one, you have the blue band, which is what are they calling it? Let's see. I don't see the name. Oh, okay, the Central Division. You've got the Atlantic Division. The Atlantic Division should not include Columbus and Pittsburgh. It should include Tampa and Miami, considering. They're a lot closer to the Atlantic.
Well, I'm currently looking at the Western and Eastern Conferences and the Pacific, Central, Metropolitan, and Atlantic Divisions.
Yeah.
Like Chicago, Colorado, the Dallas, Minnesota, Nashville, St. Louis, and Winnipeg in the Central, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you pretty much that's all you can do.
Yeah, exactly. The Metropolitan with Carolina, Columbus, New Jersey, the Islanders, who are soon going to be moving to Brooklyn. The Rangers, the Flyers, the Capitals, and the Penguins, that looks pretty okay. And then with the Atlantic, you've got Boston, Buffalo, Detroit, Florida, Tampa, Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto. That's cool. I'm actually very happy with that, to tell you the truth.
You like where Florida and where the two Florida teams are, Tampa and Miami?
Oh, heck yeah. Well, I mean, they are in the Atlantic. They are close to the shore. You know, I mean, unless they put in a southwestern division and a southeastern, and then, you know, we could set up, like, you know, sack races to crown a champion for the league after you get through the Pacific, Northeastern, West, South. you know, I mean, what we're basically looking at here is actually a fairly even distribution. I mean, despite the fact that the Eastern Conference has two more teams than the Western Conference, I really don't see where you can swap one more team over. You know, I mean, what this does is this provides balance in the schedule. So, that, you know, that, as far as I'm concerned, that's the most important thing.
So, a team in Seattle will narrow the margin between the Eastern and the Western conferences, if we can call them that.
Well, I mean, in the Western, you're looking at the Pacific. You got the Ducks, the Flames, the Oilers, the Kings, the Yotes, the Sharks, and the Canucks. I mean, Anaheim, Los Angeles, and San Jose, all in the same division. Again, you know, you get the same situation where you've got the Lightning and Miami. You know, like Tampa Bay and Miami in the same division. Well, you've got Anaheim, Los Angeles, and San Jose. Bop, bop, bop. It's the same sort of deal.
But it sure does look like the Atlantic Conference has an advantage if you believe what you hear, you know, talked about, and that is, you know, the old axiom where the teams in the West traveled much further than the teams in the East. Right now, it's starting to look what it looks like to me when you look at that map.
Sorry,
those,
Frank, you're breaking up. I missed most of that. I got up to the teams in the West and then nothing.
Okay, the teams in the West. The teams in the West, you know, we all remember that they did a lot of traveling, right?
Yeah.
And right now, when I look at the map, it looks to me like, generally speaking, the distance from the closest to the furthest team is about the same for the three divisions other than Atlantic.
Yeah, it does seem to be a little more. Well, I mean, and again, you're looking at the entire Eastern Seaboard here. I mean, you're going Boston all the way down to Tampa. So, you know, it feels like you're covering a little bit more territory because you've got Florida hanging off the end.
Yeah. Well, that's basically what you got going on, you know, in the other divisions. But whereas in the Atlantic Division, they literally only need to. Instead of buying airplanes, they just need to buy buses.
Yeah, which you know, will help save on costs for the owners and maximize profits. So, hey, that all works out to the good.
And that brings my question. I wonder if they should, what would help to make people make better decisions. Do you think maybe part of what the league should do as part of equalization is the league should pay for travel and it should come from all the teams equally?
Well, I would certainly like to see a more equitable revenue sharing, more along the lines of stuff that you see in the NFL, but I don't know how willing a lot of the owners would be to go along with the plan.
Well, that's why I'm suggesting that the travel, you know, as far as traveling is concerned, you know, that would be a way of, you know, sharing costs and the NHL takes care of the traveling. I don't know, because I just think the National Hockey League could be a customer and would get a better deal from an airline.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, teams want to go at a certain time, they want to leave at a certain time, and all that wonderful stuff. So yeah, so you're pretty okay with the way the teams have been aligned. Like I said, mine, I don't believe Tampa and Miami should be in the Central Conference. They should be in the Atlantic, and the Canes and Columbus and Pittsburgh should be in with Montreal, Boston, Ottawa. But I believe they don't want to be in that division, and that's why they're not there.
Yeah.
The real money for Pittsburgh and Columbus is to have those other cities come in. They would rather have the New Yorks come in and Philadelphia and Washington and such. Better draws than Toronto, Ottawa, the Leafs, Buffalo. But I think the Red Wings will be a good draw in the East just because it's been a while since they've been in the East and playing teams in this area. So there'll be a real good
draw. I'll be honest with you. Truth be told, I probably would have rather. I'm looking at the divisions that they have now. I think this is actually the first time, to be honest, I've seen that. It probably would have been better to put New Jersey in the Atlantic and put Detroit in the Metropolitan. Just because New Jersey is a little bit closer to the Atlantic than Detroit is. But for sheer rivalry and fan draw, yeah, it would probably be better to have. It probably is better to have Detroit where they are because they'll play more original six teams that way.
I mean, you've got Boston, Detroit, Montreal, and Toronto all in the same division. That's four of the original six.
Absolutely.
And then you've got New York, and you've got Philadelphia in the Metropolitan, and that rounds that out. So.
And you're telling me at the NHL.com they don't have the.
I'm going to pop you a link.
No, hang on. I'll find it. NHL.com. Here we go. Conference. Oops. I should have stayed away for a second. Yeah, because I don't know if we're looking at the same conferences, to be honest with you.
I don't think we are. I think you may still be looking at the old one, Frank, because I'm showing a slightly different alignment here. Hold on. Let me pop the link in here. It should be popping up on your Facebook in about 10 seconds or so, if less. Because what I'm currently showing Carolina, Columbus, New Jersey, New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, and Washington all in the Metropolitan. And I've got Boston, Buffalo, Detroit, Florida, Montreal, Ottawa, Tampa, and Toronto all in the same.
The easy way to explain it is you've got hang on, because it's ridiculous. The NHL, they should have, well, standings. Let's see. They didn't division, conference.
Don't look at the standings. Go to NHL.com/ice.
Yeah.
/news. .htm ?ID equals 678456.
Are you sure that's the same one?
That's what I'm looking at here. The release of the 2013-14 regular schedule Friday included the debut of the four new division names for the realigned NHL.
It's the same one I was just talking about. This is the same one I was talking about.
Yeah, okay, so we are on the same page then.
No, it's the same one. The only difference they've made now, they've named them differently.
Exactly.
They've changed the names because the Atlantic used to be the one that New York was in.
Yeah.
And it was called the Central. The Metropolitan was called the Atlantic used to be the Central. And the Metropolitan used to be the Atlantic. And the Central used to be the Leafs. And they just changed the names. What I had was like a roadmap. What I was looking at was like a roadmap.
Ah, okay. See, I missed the Smythe, the Adams, the Norris, the Patrick, the Whales. I miss the Whales in the Campbell Conference. I really do.
Well, I still, when you look at that, I still feel that Tampa and Florida are better suited in the Metropolitan, while the Pittsburgh and Columbus should be in the Atlantic.
Fair enough.
And the reason I say that is it's more of a line, and it surrounds it's basically going east-west. In other words, it would be the true east. If they had it the other way, it would be the Eastern teams versus the Central teams, or be the Atlantic, the Northeast, the Central, and the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
If they were aligned the way I say, but I think it's politics. The reason Pittsburgh is where they are because they can make more money in that division than they would in the other. They love Toronto. They love Buffalo. They love Montreal, but they make more money having the New Yorks come in.
Yeah, but then for the original six teams, you can charge premium prices.
Well, we already know the Leafs are going to do that.
Well, yeah, they've already made that abundantly clear. You know, as if it wasn't bad enough that they were playing crappily and what have you. You know, they're already jacking ticket prices.
Let's talk about
fans like the Sheet that they are completely going along with it.
Let's talk about the conferences and the kind of heated battles that'll be going on in the conferences. Let's look at the Pacific first. We've got the Canucks.
Well, I think the first obvious battle is going to be Calgary and Edmonton. That's pretty much a given.
Absolutely, and you can throw the Canucks in that battle as well.
Yeah.
The biggest thing I see, LA and the Canucks, not so much. The Canucks now don't have to worry about Chicago, which they didn't before, actually. It's pretty much, the Pacific's pretty much the same division. The Central's pretty much
really
the same.
Oh, that really hasn't changed at all.
Right? And then the Central, the difference there is that Columbus switched with Winnipeg. basically,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So the rivalries will be the same in the West, in the both Western divisions, by virtue of the teams are pretty much the same. Where there's going to be some new stuff going on is in rivalries, which the Metropolitan's basically the same too, except for Columbus and Carolina being in there.
Yep.
You're still going to have the Islanders, Rangers, Philly, the battles, the Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, the Pennsylvania connection, the New York, Brooklyn or New York Islanders, and New Jersey, the Hudson River battles, right? It's still going to be the same. But now the South has totally disappeared. It's been disbanded, if you will, because you've got Carolina in the South, now in the Metropolitan, Winnipeg now in the Central, and the two Floridas in the Atlantic, and Washington, of course, in the Metropolitan as well. So now, do you see any easy marks, teams that are going to be in real deep trouble just because of the other teams that are in their division? I think the Floridas are going to be in trouble.
Oh, we're
Florida. The Floridas and Toronto are going to be in tough.
No, Toronto is I think one of the teams that I see that is definitely going to be in tough. Traditionally we've done well at home against Buffalo, but not so well on the road. You know, we've done well occasionally against Boston. There's been a great long-standing feud between Toronto and Detroit, and again, it goes back to the original six. You know, which is just awesome. The way that they've realigned right now, they've thrown the Leafs in with a lot of their rivals, which is A, going to make it tough for them to get ahead during the season, but is also going to provide some great hockey. And that's, you know, mainly what I'm looking forward to here.
So basically, except for the Atlantic Division, which is looking really tough now that you throw Detroit in there, and one really good team can make a big difference. That's the one that's probably been, that division's probably been affected the most. I think we can agree on that.
Yeah, most definitely.
Right. Whereas, the Metropolitan Division.
No argument for me on that one, Frank.
The Metropolitan Division has Carolina in it, but, you know, Washington's a pretty good team. So, you know, they're making the Metropolitan Division a little tougher. And, there's one less team in the Western Conference. So there's one less team to finish in front of to make the playoffs.
They've also actually changed that as well. There's still going to be 16 teams in the playoffs and 8 from each conference, but it's going to be hold on, let me just pull this up here.
Let me start by saying this, that every team's going to play one game in every arena. In other words, every team is going to get every other team at home once. Let's start there. And then the seeding of the wild card teams within each division.
And that's awesome because it restores a concept of balance to the league, which was missing before.
Absolutely.
There were too often you go 2 or 3 years without, you know, playing in the other team's barn or having them play in yours, which was detrimental. Because, you know, very often there's teams that you want to see play but that you won't have a chance to because of the way that everything was aligned and the way that everything actually happened to work out. Sorry about that, Frank.
Okay, so the Stanley Cup playoffs will consist of 16 teams, 8 from each conference.
Yeah.
But it will be division-based and wild-card system has been added. The top 3 teams in each division will make up the first 12 teams in the playoffs. So the top 3 teams in the Pacific, Central, Metropolitan, and Atlantic, which adds up to 12, 4 divisions, 3 teams each. So that's 12 teams. They've got to get to 16. So the remaining 4 spots will be filled by the next 2 highest place finishers in each conference. So now there's 4 other teams that make the playoffs, 2 in the Western Conference, right? And 2 in the Eastern Conference, which is what I'm talking about as far as now you got to finish. If you're in the East, you got to finish higher than 2 more teams than you would in the other division. So because there's 2 less teams in the Western Conference, they're closer. The bottom team is closer to making the playoffs than the bottom 2 teams in the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this I don't think is the reason they agreed to it, I think, is because it isn't a permanent thing. It's a temporary thing. There's talk about Seattle being added. Now, will it be added as a new franchise or will it be a shift of a franchise? Better for the league and for balance of the teams if it's an added team. So in other words, they would be added to the Western Conference, and then with that team, that would make it. I got a mosquito here, and I hate mosquitoes. How do you feel about mosquitoes? Anyway, so basically, what happens is there'll be one team less in the Western Conference. That's the difficulty I have. I don't see the equity in there being two extra teams in the Eastern Conference. So four teams enter in as wild cards, two from each conference. Okay, regardless of the division, based on the regular season points. So the ones with the most points.
Yeah, see, the one thing that was vaguely unsatisfying about the way that the playoff system was run before was there were teams that you thought were deserving, that deserved to be in there but didn't, because they had six different divisions as opposed to just four. So, you know, you had the top two teams in each division, and then after that there were just, you know, one or two more teams that I would actually make it. But the teams that actually did seem to make it in the playoffs very often didn't deserve to make it, because you had the top two teams in the worst division in each conference that were making it with 60-odd points, whereas the other teams that were making it were making it with 85 or 90 points. This at least balances it out a little more.
You may find that that's not true, but that's just going to be me and you having a little disagreement until we know for sure.
Well, I mean, when you look at it this way, the way that they've set it up now, there used to be the weak sister divisions. You know, there used to be.
Yeah. No. I agree with you there. But
you know,
they're further away now. They're further away now from equity than they were last year. I'm not talking about 10 years ago, just last year. Last year, they had an equal amount of teams in each conference.
Yeah.
And an equal opportunity to make the playoffs, whereas now they've created this imbalance in having two more teams in the Eastern Conference than they have in the Western Conference. It is done because, let's be honest, the reason it's happening is because Detroit doesn't want to be in the Western Conference anymore.
And I can't say that I blame them. Travel is murder.
Right.
You know, if I were Chicago, I would have been bitching, too, that I'm still in the Central Conference as opposed to being in the Metropolitan.
They're too far away from the East to be in the Metropolitan. They're too far away. So I don't know. They must be. I can't believe, like, if you're the Leafs or if you're Buffalo, if you're one of those teams that's on the bubble of making the playoffs year in, year out, I don't know how happy you are with having two more teams to over, or one more team. In actuality, they have one more team this year to beat more than last year. In actuality, one more team. Whereas
the
Western Conference has one
less. They really don't deserve to be in the playoffs anyway.
Oh, hey, listen. I'm not here to. Other than I'm just trying to state the simple fact that there are more teams in the Eastern Conference, and that is a disadvantage for the teams in the Eastern Conference. Now, having talked about the conferences, the playoffs are going to be interesting, especially because a great team like Detroit has left, you know, the Western Conference. They're now in the Eastern Conference. There are some really strong franchises, and you highlighted very quickly and very, very correctly that the Leafs have a lot more challenges now in their division.
Yeah. Hopefully that will make them a better team. But I'm not holding my breath.
Well, you know, it's one thing to make the playoffs. It's another thing to win the Stanley Cup, right? And if you're in this, if you're in to win the Stanley Cup, let's be honest, it doesn't matter how good the rest of the teams are. You're the best. So it doesn't matter how many teams are in the division. If you're the best, you're the best. You'll win. That's all that matters.
But that's the way it should be.
I'm looking at the teams, and I'm wondering to myself which teams aren't going to make the playoffs this year in the Eastern Conference. And you figure you only got eight teams that are going to make it. That makes it half the teams are out, half the teams are in. So off the hopper, you got 50% chance of making the playoffs. Are the Leafs that good? Are they the better half? Are they in the better half? It's going to be tough. I mean, you got Detroit, Montreal, which I think Montreal is an improving franchise. Ottawa has proven that they're always underrated. You know, Pittsburgh, Washington, the Rangers. The Islanders have proved that they're an improving franchise. I think they're a team to be worried about. New Jersey's a wild card. Columbus, I don't really know that much about Columbus, not just because they're in the West Division, but because they gave up Rick Nash And they really weren't that impressive last year. And then you've got Carolina that is always in the hunt for the playoffs and are a spoiler at the very least. So, you know, I count more than eight teams in there that have a good shot at making the playoffs other than the Leafs.
Well, and again, this is where you get down into intangibles. And, you know, without having seen any teams play at this point, it's purely speculative. But, you know, when you get to a point like this where there are potentially more than eight teams that can make the playoffs and stand a very decent chance of making the playoffs, this is where the intangibles start to come in, the heart, the drive, the grit, that sort of thing. And the real question is, with the Maple Leafs as young as they are, do they have the drive? Do they have the grit? You know, with that sort of thing. Will they have the ability to make it?
They brought
that's
in
always something that's up in the air. The proof will always be in the pudding. We'll never actually know until they actually start to play. So.
Well, they brought in Boland and Clarkson.
Mimico boy. Yay, Boland. Also used to be a lacrosse player, by the way.
Yep. So, you know, they brought in some grit. The question is, will that grit, you know, suffice?
The real question is, do they have enough sandpaper to get the job done?
Well, apparently Calgary's going after sandpaper this year.
Oh, really? I've missed it. Who have they been in the hunt for?
No, Burke is now the CEO of the team, the president of the team.
Yay, Burke. It's okay. I'm pretty sure he'll find some more, you know, sports reporters to molest while he's there.
And by that, you mean harass?
Yes. And also molest.
Sports reporters who will work their way to his bad side, I'm sure.
And not that that's all that hard. Let's be honest.
That goes without saying. He's not an easy person to get along with. If he doesn't like you, he doesn't like you. Let's take a short break, and we'll be back for more after this. And remind you folks that this is Candid Frank Live. You're with Aaron Freeland and Frank Stanishi. Hey, let's have some fun with Mike Richards.
I'm just a regular Joe with a regular job. I'm your average white Leaside like snob. I like porno and Proline and books about porn. I got an average house with nice hardwood floors. My wife, my job, my kids and my car. My feet on my table and a Cuban cigar. But sometimes that just ain't enough to keep a man like me interested. No way. Now I gotta wear double blue and hit the subway downtown. Yeah. I need football big on a really big field. No silicone cheerleaders. I want my chicks real. I'm an Argo. I'm an Argo. Yo. I fly to BC and hide all their weed. I go to Regina and say, how about that wheat? I'm an Argo. I'm an Argo. Yo. I park at Commonwealth and take Edmonton spaces while Edmonton people make Edmonton faces. I'm an Argo. I'm an Argo.
Maybe I shouldn't be singing this song, ranting and raving and carrying on. Maybe they're right when they say that I'm wrong.
Nah, I'm an Argo.
He's an Argo.
going to do. I'm going to get myself one of those Condridge Holloway Mets jerseys circa 1982 with the midriff showing, just like those skanky Queen Street Lady Gaga wannabes, and walk right into Harbor 60, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. Yeah. And I'm going to talk about the Argos on the radio anytime I want, because unlike that 60-year-old from The Fan who wears sunglasses on TV, I actually go to the games. Okay. They can take their 20 years of boring people with their Dungeons & Dragons staff and have a great big 20-year-old cakewalk right in the middle of Yonge Street, and it will make it look a difference. You know why? Because we got the bombs. Yeah! We got Schultz, Dennegan, frickin' Naylor, and frickin' Randorf. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get Bill Simons, Joel Kroll, Terry Greer, and frickin' Don Mohn, and a giant case of Crown Royal, and we're gonna go right down.
Hey, you know what, pal? You really are an Argo.
Just shut up and sing the song, pal. I'm an Argo!
He's an Argo!
I'm an Argo!
He's an Argo!
Argo! I'm an Argo, and I'm proud of it.
You know, we talked about the impact of the Argos going to BMO and how advantageous it may or may not be for the Toronto Argonauts to go into BMO, and I finally got somebody that posted on my Facebook. TFC fans are upset about the fact that the Argos will be moving into BMO. They like it to themselves. Never looked at it from that angle. So I guess, you know, we worry about where we go visit, but we don't think about the people who own the place or who live there, how they like our company. I guess you didn't hear what I said, right, Aaron?
No, I totally missed all of that, Frank. I'm sorry. You cut in and out. I heard and maybe and so something something and that was it.
Oh man, this is just bizarre. This is just horrible. Anyway, what I was trying to say is that I got some people that posted on Facebook. They're not happy with the Argos moving into TFC because they feel BMO is their home.
Fair enough, and it would technically feel like an intrusion, I suppose. But, you know, you just got to suck it up and deal with it. I'm reasonably certain the Maple Leafs aren't necessarily happy with the Toronto Rock taking over for 9 games a season. But
there
you
go. It is what it is. Oh, definitely they'll live. Okay, so... let's talk about the Rock a little bit. Do you see everything status quo, the arena, the ownership? We're all the same? Everything staying like it was last year?
As far as I'm aware, yes. The only real difference between this year and last year is they've eliminated season tickets for the upper bowl. They now have what are called season passes, which are $100 and entitle you to the same seat, but you don't get the same benefits and discounts and what have you as a season ticket holder does. The Rock are currently very happy, I believe, with where they are. The track is a great development. I think it's absolutely awesome. It's a wonderful facility to play in. The one question that's actually on quite a few people's minds these days is, what on earth are they doing with the post-game parties? Because Jack Astor's, it wasn't quite cutting it. And then, you know, you switch to real sports, and that really wasn't quite cutting it. I don't know if they're going to try to keep up that sort of thing. I know there have been incidents in the past with other teams and players and other teams and other teams at the locations where they've had these sorts of things. So I don't know if they're going to decide to keep the post-game parties or scrap them. I'll certainly miss them if they do away with them, but, you know, we'll have to see what the future holds. For the time being, however, the Toronto Rock, as far as I'm aware, are very happy with where they are and where they're playing and what have you. So,
okay, that's fair enough. Okay, now we have a little extra time. And with that extra time, I think it'd be nice to open up the floor like we have done every other week and talk about what's hot and what's not. What's hot this week for you on the agenda? Opening up to news, events, anything. What's hot this week?
I'll be honest, not a whole hell of a lot has been going on. So, you know, it's been relatively quiet on that front for me, at least. Fan Expo,
I don't know if everybody else knows, out there knows this, but I'm a bit of a comic book and sci-fi and horror and gaming geek. So, you know, last 2 weeks ago was Fan Expo in Toronto, which was awesome. I got to get my geek on for four straight days. That was just really cool. Got to have a chance to sit in on a Q&A session with the cast from The Walking Dead, Dr. McCoy from the new Star Trek, and King of All Geeks, Nathan Fillion.
Castle.
But, yeah, other than that, it's been pretty quiet for me. So.
Well, I like Nathan Fillion. Now all of a sudden the name of the show jumped. We've talked about it before. Now it just jumped out of my head.
Castle.
Yeah, Castle. No, I said Castle, but the show that I really knew him from, the first show,
Firefly.
When he was very young. Yeah, Firefly, which only lasted a couple of seasons.
He was also on The Young and the Restless, and he was also on – no, he was on Days of Our Lives, and he was also on a TV show called Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
Was he in that one?
Yeah.
With the blonde chick?
Yep. He was in the last season and a half of the three-season run.
And the goofy guy.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds was actually the other guy.
That's right. He was the other guy. Yeah. Ryan Reynolds was the other guy.
Yep.
Yeah, he was when I say goofy, he was Mr. I'm the guy, I'm it, was his character.
Yeah. And Nathan Fillion played a character named Berg, who was just sort of a guy.
Yeah.
He was just sort of there.
Absolutely. Always admired his work, and we enjoy his work on Castle. He's a great actor. I think the hot this week for me is TIFF is going on, and a lot of activity, a lot of famous people are trotting around downtown Toronto. They're being chased in the airports. They come to Toronto. They're staying at all the fine hotels for, what, $10,000, $15,000 a night hotel rooms, $30,000 a night hotel rooms. After the game, it was before TIFF was really rolling. I walked through it. It's always a hectic time for TV stations, especially the broadcasters who are into entertainment. They really make their hay at this time. It's a real busy time for them. And the city really enjoys TIFF and what it brings to this city. Very famous, and a lot of great actors and a lot of great directors come here and bring a lot of great movies. Fifth Estate, which is now the big story at TIFF, I guess, which is what's his name, WikiLeaks, Mr. WikiLeaks, Assange, yeah, his story, which he doesn't think it's a very good version of what went on, and apparently the movie isn't very complimentary of him, doesn't put him in a good light, which is to be expected. I mean, what he did and what he does. He's a snitch, and, whether the snitching is good or not, I'll let other people debate that. I really don't know, only because I don't know the truth, so I really don't know what he's saying and what bearing it has. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of crazy stuff out there. So that's the hot for me this week. What's not hot is the way the Argos have been playing. That's not hot at all.
It's been a little bit of a horror show, I think.
And what's not hot for you this week?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, to be honest, what's not hot for me is TIFF because I work downtown.
Oh, okay, because so, you know it's a bit of a disaster, right?
Yeah, just a little bit of a – oh, just to be polite, just a little bit of a crapshoot getting around downtown these days.
Well, let me try another knot is the one where my favorite quote of the week, of course, is our favorite mayor – stating how he's done it alone. He's finally gotten the subway. Nobody wanted it. He's the only one that wanted it. He did yeoman service, and he made it happen, you know, all in his lonesome. Nobody
you
else.
You know what? You're going from a seven-station SRT to a two-stop subway. I'm not sure how that's good or how that's in any way beneficial for Scarborough whatsoever when you're eliminating five stops on a rapid transit system that was actually very beneficial and very helpful. There are approximately 45,000 people a day that ride the SRT. So now you're going to disrupt all of that, and it won't actually be in place until, if I recall correctly, 2022 to 2025.
Right. They're saying up to 10 years to build.
Yeah. Up to 10 years to build this. But it's actually supposed to be on the SRT tracks.
And the last 3 years of the build, they're going to the people are going to have to shuttle bus.
Yes. It's going to be 3 solid years of shuttle busing.
So, you know.
Congratulations, y'all got your subway, but.
But you don't live out that way, so it's not that big a deal for you, right?
But my girlfriend does.
Ah, and is that what she's talking about?
Yeah, she's right out by Kennedy Station, so she's not entirely happy about that. I'll be honest with you, you know what? It probably would have been better to beef up the SRT and make it an LRT line. The additional stops would help service more of Scarborough. Believe it or not, under the Metrolink's Big Move program, it was already frickin' paid for. But, you know, hey, he got it done. People wanted subways. Yay!
Oh, my goodness. Well, I didn't.
Hey, you know
what?
I didn't vote for the guy. I got Hurricane Hazel as a mayor, so I'm happy.
Well, we're in the same boat. I got Hurricane Hazel, too. So
exactly.
So, yeah, it is what it is, right? Yeah, so I just thought it was kind of funny that he said that. And I just feel that for the first time he had something to talk about that wasn't drug-related. So I think it was something that he wanted to get out there.
I think it was, and you know what? Hey, I'm glad for him. But when Murray slapped the dime down on the podium and said, "Hey, I've just put down more money than Rob Ford for the subway thing," he wasn't wrong.
Oh,
see the press conference?
No, I didn't.
It was awesome. He says, "Yeah, you know, Rob Ford has been saying that he's going to get money for this and he's going to fund it and this and that. And the other thing, well, I've just put down slap more money than Rob Ford ever has."
Wow.
Yeah, well, because the Ontario government is paying for the entire thing.
Absolutely.
The Liberal government is paying for the entire extension.
It really is a bit of a, you know, boggler. It boggles the mind.
Just a smidgen. So, you know, but hey, you know, he can take credit for it if he wants. That's fine. I just hope the people of Scarborough remember what a sort of a torture and shit show he's putting them through 7 or 8 years down the road. So,
well, you know what? Nobody will care about Rob Ford in 10 years.
God, I hope not.
I don't think they will. I don't think
if we're still talking about
him
10 years from now, I'll be very upset.
There you go. Another thing is, what did you think? And I want to get into this because I find it's one of the most important things in our life, and that is war and how we seem to, the United States seems to get involved in wars that now more and more seem to drag us into each and every time they get involved. Do you like the move that Obama made, which was, okay, tell me to go. I'm not deciding on my own. Congress, you tell me that we're going. What'd you think of that?
Here's the whole issue, though. The Republicans are saying, oh, he's got no balls. He's not going to attack Syria. But then they're also saying, oh, he can't attack Syria without our permission. See?
Well,
damned if you do, damned if you don't. For permission, he's a weak president. If he just goes ahead and do it, he's violating the Constitution and he's a dictator. God damn it, he's a socialist.
There you go. So it was a tactful move on his part to say what he said.
Oh, most definitely. Right now, what he's forcing these people to do is he's forcing them to stand up and be counted. By going to Congress for a vote, he's saying, all right, y'all want to be dicks to me, I'm going to be a dick to you. You have to stand up and put your money where your mouth is.
Well, absolutely. And he's basically saying, you know, you're not getting a free ride anymore. You're going to take responsibility for what you say, which is the way it should be.
Exactly.
And that's why and Bush is the reason why this all happened, is because he went to war without talking to anybody. And he became the lightning rod as to why they went when the politicians were 100% behind him and goading him into doing it. But, you know, none of them paid the price for the cost of the war because it was all Bush's fault.
And he basically took off.
Yeah. And then he took off, and he's gone, and he's fine, you know. And it was, again, that was a brilliant move by Bush and company and the people who advised Bush to do what he did. He did what he did, and he took all the heat for it. And the people that profited from the war didn't have to spend so much money to convince, you know, Congress, individual congressional leaders or congressmen or women to vote in that regard, with their help of a little, soft money, I guess is what they call it. Isn't that what they call it? Soft money?
I think so. You know.
But you know what? I'm glad that Obama's doing this because, you know, we've got, you know, the shadow here, otherwise known as our prime minister, Stephen Harper. He's basically just does what the Americans want him to do. And
Mr. Republic light.
Yeah, you know. So, you know, and he doesn't let, you know, the people we vote into office, speak freely. And that's the part that bothers me more than anything.
No, most definitely. I mean, the fact that he's muzzling some of his own MPs, and the fact that he has a McCarthy-style enemies list.
Is that true? Is that true?
Yeah, no, he's got a list of individuals that you should not talk to if you want to get results. And he's got a list of people you should talk to because they'll say yes on this, and this.
Wow. Very organized.
No, it's out there.
So he's one of those people that actually uses his contact list and uses those different colors beside the contacts so he knows who does what.
That's actually pretty much what it boils down to.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
He puts certain symbols beside each name, and those, and depending on what you're looking for, you go, you know, if you're looking for something red, there's the red list.
Yep.
You want something orange, there's an orange list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was Frosh Week this week. Universities are all... My daughter went into her first week of university, and we got the call in the middle of her week. She needs something else. Didn't last long. Not her fault. She tried using Wi-Fi on her printer. She needs a cable, so we went out and we got her a cable. They'll be bringing it to her tomorrow. I might go. I'm not sure yet. I haven't decided yet whether I'm going to go. So she's at Brock University. I hope she has the kind of experience I didn't have. She went to university. I didn't, and I'm very proud of her. It was Frosh Week, so a lot of parents like myself who haven't had kids in university are living the first experience. For those that have and are continuing, it's a continuing experience, and it is not a cheap proposition. But there are avenues for people like us who aren't that rich and can't afford to just blithely write checks to our universities and stuff. There's options, thankfully. And for that, I'm grateful about living in this country where, Obama talks about it in the U.S. where, you know, people need a helping hand to advance in life and give them a chance. It's nice that they're given a chance, and it's even nicer if they're given a chance in a way that they repay. And, you know, repay means that the next person can get the same advantage, which is what I'm in for. That's what I'm for, I should say. Everybody deserves a hand, but once they get that hand, they should be doing the same thing in return. And if we do, I think our educational system will survive just fine.
Yeah, no arguments here.
It's Frosh Week, and I like the fact that that Putin in Russia, pretty interesting guy, don't you think?
Yeah, most definitely. He's a pretty interesting character. I'll give him that much.
Didn't he survive being poisoned?
I think you're thinking of Rasputin.
Oh, am I thinking of, is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah, he's got the rash in front of his name. No, this guy's crazy. He's an ex GRU agent. Likes to have pictures of him too, him topless. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. Have you ever seen the pictures of him?
No.
Oh my God, really? Seriously? Okay, hold on. There was a.
I'm
not going to send you a link to nudity.
Okay, good. Because let me make this clear. The fact that I said I've never seen him topless doesn't mean I want to.
No. I mean, there's all these sorts of pictures of him, like, hunting and fishing and riding horses and what have you, all topless. It's actually pretty amusing. There's pictures of him playing hockey with the Red Army. There's a picture of him in a wife beater looking like Marlon Brando from his early acting career. All this sort of crazy stuff. But a lot of the stuff that he does topless for some reason, and I'm not 100% sure why. And they have some of the most restrictive anti-gay laws in the world.
Oh yeah.
Go figure. I mean, you have a Russian president that likes to be photographed on horseback topless, fishing topless, hunting topless. You know, and it's just like, what the hell? I'm not even going to pretend I understand this guy.
Wow. So
yeah.
He sounds like a pretty interesting person.
That's okay. You know what? Seriously, just go and Google him.
You know what? I'll take a pass. another thing that happened this week is 96-year-old Rokas Misch, who served as Adolf Hitler's devoted bodyguard for most of the Second World War, and was the last remaining witness to the Nazi leader's final moments in his Berlin bunker, died at age 96. He referred to Hitler, and this I find amusing, and you know, it is all about perspective, you know, and he wrote a memoir about, you know, his time with Hitler. And Misch, believe it or not, as I'm reading this, this is off the CBC. I'll give CBC credit. Misch remained proud to the end about his years with Hitler, whom he affectionately called boss. In a 2005 interview with the Associated Press, Misch recalled Hitler as a very normal man and gave a riveting account of the German dictator's last days before he and his wife Eva Braun killed themselves as the Soviet Red Army closed in around their bunker. And this guy says, this guy Rokas Misch says, and referring to Hitler, he was no brute, he was no monster, he was no Superman. Okie dokie.
Huh.
I'm glad he said that. I don't know. You know, it's all about perspective. And unfortunately, in reality, you know, it's not like a TV show where they're trying to create characters now. It's changing a little bit. But the old-fashioned characters were black and white, right? Now, you know, you watch movies, the characters are becoming more gray. And I guess the fact that Hitler wasn't evil 100% of the time meant that he wasn't evil. But unfortunately, what he did lasted a long time. We're down to our last minute. You got something in closing to say?
I got nothing, Frank. I'm sorry.
No, no worries. Thank you. Okay. Well, for Aaron Freeland, my name's Frank Stanisha. You've been listening to Candid Frank Live. On a closing note, not that I meant to talk about Hitler only because this guy died. It really is all about perspective. Whether you're an Argo fan or not, it's all about perspective. Whether you're a TFC fan or not, it's your perspective, whether you want another team moving into your stadium. And in politics, it's all about perspective. If you're the prime minister, you see things from your fishbowl, and whatever happens outside your door, outside your window, is seen from your precious eyes. From my eyes, all I can say to you is, I know so little, I want to learn so much. And we also learned today that this week we have a wonderful swimmer, and she is my hero. And I've only got a couple of seconds, but we're going to let it go anyway. One last time, Diane Nyad will have the last
After
word.
After four failed attempts, 64-year-old Canadian endurance swimmer Diane Nyad is the first to swim across the 160-kilometer Florida Strait from Cuba to Florida in just 53 hours without a shark tank. Right after reaching the shore of Key West, this is what our hero Diane Nyad had to say, swollen lips and all.
I got three messages.
Quiet.
One is,
We should never, ever give up.
Okay.
Do it. You're never too old to chase your dreams.
That's right.
It looks like a solitary sport, but it's a team.